Chapter 19. The Last Stage. It was on May the 1st that the two came back at last to the Valley of Rivendell, where stood the last or first homely house. Again it was evening, their ponies were tired, especially the one that carried the baggage, and they all felt the need of rest. As soon as they rode down the steep path, Bilbo heard the elves singing their songs in the trees again, as if they had not stopped since he left. And as soon as the riders came down into the low glades of the wood, they burst into a song much like the kind before. It is something like this. The dragon is withered, his bones are now crumbled, his armor is shivered, his splendor is humbled. Though sword shall be rusted, and throne and crown perish, with strength that men trusted, and wealth that they cherished. Here grass is still growing, and leaves are yet swinging, the white water flowing, and elves are yet singing. Come, tra-la-la-la-la, come back to the valley. The stars are far brighter than gems without measure. The moon is far whiter than silver in treasure. The fire more shining on hearth in the gloaming than gold won by mining. So why go a-roaming? Oh, tra-la-la-la, come back to the valley. Oh, where are you going so late in returning? The river is flowing, the stars are all burning. Oh, whither so laden, so sad and so dreary? Here, elf and elf maiden, now welcome the weary. With tra-la-la-la-la, come back to the valley. Tra-la-la-la-la, fa-la-la-la-la, fa-la-la-la-la. You, dear listener, know how elves sing, so I will let that sink into your imagination with merry, gay harp. Then the elves of the valley came out and greeted them and led them across the waters to the house of Elrond. There was a warm welcome made with them, and there were many eager ears to hear the comings and tidings of the adventures. Gandalf it was who spoke, for Bilbo had fallen quite and fast asleep. Most of the tale he knew, for he had been in it, and he himself told much of it to the wizard on the wayward home, and in the house of Beorn. But every now and again he would open his eye and listen for the part of the story he did not yet know to come in. It was in this way that he learned where Gandalf had been, for he overheard the words of the wizard to Elrond. It appeared that Gandalf had been to a great council of the White Wizard, master of lore and good magic, and that they were at last driven the necromancer from his dark hole in the south of the Mirkwood. Ere long now, said Gandalf, saying, the forest will grow somewhat more wholesome. The north will be freed from the horror of many long years, I hope, yet I wish we were banished from the world. It would be well indeed, said Elrond, but I fear that not come about in this age of world for many after. When the tale of their journey was told, there were other tales, and yet more tales, tales of long ago, and tales of new things, and tales of no time at all, till Bilbo's head fell forward on his chest, and he snored comfortably in the corner. He awoke to find himself in a white bed, and the moon shining through the open window. Below it, many elves were singing loud and clear on the banks of the stream. Sing ye all joyfully, now sing all together, the wind in the treetops, the wind in the heather, the stars are in bloom, blossom, the moon is in flower, and bright are the windows of night in her tower. Dance all ye joyful, now dance all together, soft as the grass, and let foot be like feather. The river is silver, and the shadows are fleeting. Merry is Maytime, and merry our meeting. Sing we now softly, and dreams let us weave. Wind him in slumber, and there let him leave. The wanderer sleepeth, now soft be his pillow, lullaby, lullaby, Adler and willow. Sigh no more pine till the wind of the morn, fall moon, dark be the land, hush, hush, oak, ash, and thorn, hush be all water till dawn is at hand. Well, merry people, said Bilbo, looking out, what time is it by your moon? Your lullaby would waken a drunkard goblin, yet I thank you. And your snores would waken a stone dragon, yet we thank you, they answered in laughter. It is drawing towards dawn, and you must have slept now since night's beginning. Tomorrow, perhaps, you will be cured of your weariness. A little sleep does a great cure in the house of Elrond, he said, but I will take all the cure I can get. A second good night, fair friends. And with that, he went to bed and slept till morning. Weariness fell from him soon in that house, and he had merry jest and dance, early and late, with the elves of the valley. Yet even that place could not long delay him now, and he thought always of his home. After a week, therefore, he said farewell to Elrond, and giving him much such small gifts as he would accept, he rode away with Gandalf. Even as they left the valley and sky darkened in the west, before many of them and the wind and rain came up to meet them. Merry is Maytime, said Bilbo, as the rain beat on his face. But back to our legends, and we are coming home, and I suppose this is the first taste of it. There is a long road yet ahead, said Gandalf. But it is a road, and it is the last road, said Bilbo. They came to the river that marked the very edge of the borderland of the wild, and to the ford beneath the steep bank, which you remember. The water was swollen both with the melting of the snows and the approach of summer, and with the day-long rain, but it came across a different cruelty and pressed forward. As evening fell on the last stage of their journey, this was much as been it before, except that the company was smaller and more silent. Also this time there were no trolls. At each point on the road, Bilbo recalled the happenings and the words of a year ago. It seemed to him more like 10, so that, of course, he quickly noted that the place there was a pony had fallen in the river, and he had turned aside for their nasty adventure with Tom, Bert, and Bill, the trolls. Not far from the road now, they had found the gold of the trolls, which they had buried, still hidden and untouched. I have enough to last me a lifetime, said Bilbo, when they had dug up most of it. You had better take this, Gandalf. I dare say you can use it. Indeed I can, said the wizard, but share and share alike. You may find you have more need than you expect. So they put the golden bags and slung them over the ponies, who were not at all pleased about it. After that, their going was slow. For the most part, they timed and walked. But the land was green, and there was much grass, through which the hobbit strolled along contentedly. He mopped his face with a red silk handkerchief. No, not a single one of his own had survived. He had borrowed this one from Elrond. For now June had brought summer, and with the bright weather, it was hot again. All things came to an end, even this story. A day came at last, when they were in the sight of the country where Bilbo was born and bred, where the shapes of the land and those of the trees were well known to him and his hands and toes. Coming to a rise, he could see his own hill in the distance, and he stopped suddenly and said, "Roads go ever on, over rock, under tree, by caves where never sun had shone, by streams that never find the sea, over snow by winter snow, and through the merry flowers of June, over grass and over stone, and under mountain in the moon. Roads go ever on, under cloud and under star, yet feet that wander have gone turn at last home afar. Eyes that fire and sword have seen, and horror in the halls of stone look at last upon the meadows green, and trees and hills they have long known." Gandalf looked at him. "My dear Bilbo," he said, "something is the matter with you. You are not the hobbit that you once were." And so they crossed the bridge and passed the mill by the river and came right back to Bilbo's own door. "Bless me, what's going on?" he cried. There was a great commotion, and people of all sorts, respectable and unrespectable, were thick round the door, and many were going in and out and not even wiping their feet on the mat, as Bilbo noticed with annoyance. If he was surprised, they were more surprised still. They had arrived back in the middle of an auction. There was a large notice in black hung unread on the estate, stating that on June 22nd, Messer Grub, and Burrowers would sell by auction the effects of the late Bilbo Baggins, Esquire of Bag End, Underhill, Hobbiton. Sale to commence at 10 o'clock sharp. It was now nearly lunchtime, and most of the things had already been sold, for various pieces, from next to nothing to old songs, as is not unusual at an auction. Bilbo's cousin, the Sackwell Bagginses, were, in fact, busy measuring his rooms to see if their own furniture would fit. In short, Bilbo was presumed dead, and not everybody said that was so sorry to find presumption wrong. They returned Mr. Baggins created quite a disturbance, both under the hill and open hill, and across the water. It was a great deal more than 9 days' wonder. The legal bother, indeed, lasted for years. It was quite a long time before Mr. Baggins was in fact admitted to be alive. The people who had got especially bargains at the sale took deal of convincing, and in the end, to save time, Bilbo had to buy back quite a lot of his own furniture. Many of his silver spoons were mysteriously disappeared and were never accounted for. Personally, he suspected the Sackville Bagginses. On their side, they had never admitted that returning Baggins under was genuine, and that they were not friendly terms with Bilbo ever after. They really had wanted to live in his nice hobbit hole so very much. Indeed, Bilbo found he had lost more than spoons. He had lost his reputation. It is true that forever after he remained an elf friend, and in the honor of dwarves, wizards, and all such folk as ever passed away. But he was no longer quite respectable. He was in fact held by all the hobbits in the neighborhood to be quite queer, except by his nephews and nieces on the Took side. But even they were not encouraged in their friendship by the elders. I'm sorry to say he did not mind. He was quite content, and the sound of the kettle on his hearth was ever after more musical than it had been, even in the quiet days before an unexpected party. His sword had hung over the mantelpiece. His coat of mail was arranged on the stand in the hall, until lent it by the museum. His horse and silver were largely spent in presents, both beautiful and extravagant, which to a certain extent he accounted for the affection of his nephews and his nieces. His magic ring kept a secret, for chiefly he used it when unpleasant callers came. He took to writing poetry of the visiting elves. And though many shook their heads and touched their foreheads and said, "Poor old Bilbo," and though few believed any of his tales, he remained very happy to the end of his days. And those were extraordinarily long. One autumn evening, some years afterwards, Bilbo was sitting in his study writing his memoirs. He thought of calling them There and Back Again, A Hobbit's Holiday. When there was a ring at his door, it was Gandalf and the dwarf. The dwarf was actually bawling. Come in," said Bilbo, and soon they were settled by chairs at the fire. If Balin noticed that Mr. Baggins' waistcoat was more extensive and a real gold buttons, Bilbo had also noticed that Balin's beard was several inches longer, and his jeweled belt was of great magnificence. They fell to talking of their times together, of course, and Bilbo asked how things were going in the land of the mountain. It seemed they were going well. Bard had rebuilt the town of Dale, and the men had gathered to him from the lake and from the south and the west, and all the valley had become thrilled and rich again, and the desolation was now filled with birds and blossoming in the spring, and fruit and feasting in the autumn, and Lake Town was refounded and was more prosperous than ever before. Much wealth went up and down that river, and there was friendship in those parts between the elves and the dwarves and men. The old master had come to a bad end. Bard had given him much of the gold for his help of the lake people, but being of that kind that easily catches a disease, he fell under the dragon sickness, and took most of the gold and fled with it, and died of starvation in the waste, deserted by his companions. "The new master is wiser and kinder," said Balin, "and very popular, for, of course, he gets most of the credit for his predecessor's prosperity. There are makings of songs which say that in his day the river runs with gold. And the prophecies of old of the songs have turned out to be true after a fashion," said Bilbo. "Of course," said Gandalf. "And why should they not prove true? Surely you don't disbelieve the prophecies because you had a hand in bringing them about yourself. You don't really suppose, do you, that all your adventures and escapes were managed by mere luck, just for your sole benefit? You were a very fine person, Mr. Baggins, and I am very fond of you, but you were only a quite little fellow in a wide world, after all." "Thank goodness," said Bilbo, laughing, and handed him his bag of tobacco. The end.